Trump threatens Oman with military force over Hormuz shipping dispute. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde and number 9,650, on May 27, 2026, Trump threatened to and #X27, blow up and #X27, Oman if it collaborated with Iran to govern the Strait of Hormuz, which carries more than 20% of the world and #X27, oil traffic. Trump stated that the Strait of Hormuz is international waters and that Oman must comply with international standards or face military consequences. The U.S. State Department amplified Trump and #X27's threat by reposting the transcript on social media, explicitly naming Oman and indicating this was a deliberate diplomatic action rather than a casual remark. The U.S. President directed a military threat at Oman on May 27, 2026, warning that the country would be blown up if it collaborated with Iran to govern the Strait of Hormuz, a waterway that carries more than 20% of the world's oil traffic. The statement, delivered at a White House cabinet meeting and subsequently amplified by the U.S. State Department on social media, is not a diplomatic accident. It is a capital allocation event. The trigger was a reporter's question about whether Trump would accept a short-term arrangement allowing Iran and Oman to jointly manage the strait. Trump's reply was unambiguous: nobody is going to control it. It's international waters, and Oman will behave just like everybody else, or we will have to blow them up. The State Department's decision to repost the transcript, naming Oman explicitly, closed the door on any interpretation that Trump misspoke or confused Oman with Iran. Raed Jarar, advocacy director at the rights organization Dawn, responded directly. The UN Charter prohibits the threat of force against any state, and that prohibition binds the United States exactly as it binds everyone else, Jarar told Al Jazeera. Threatening to blow up an Arab country because its waters happen to sit along an oil route Washington once reopened is the same lawless logic that produced this war in February. The nut paragraph for institutional investors is this: the U.S. has now publicly threatened a treaty ally of more than 200 years, a country with which it holds a free trade agreement, security partnerships, and a science and technology cooperation deal. That act alone forces a repricing of political risk across the entire Gulf Cooperation Council. Every sovereign wealth fund, every infrastructure concession, every project finance deal that rests on the assumption of U.S. Gulf Cooperation Council alliance stability must now be stress-tested against a new variable: Washington's willingness to threaten military action against its own partners. The Hormuz closure, what February 28 set in motion the proximate cause of this standoff, is the war that began on February 28, 2026, when the United States and Israel launched strikes on Iran. Tehran's response was to close the Strait of Hormuz and assert sovereignty over the waterway. The legal and physical geography creates the problem. Portions of the strait pass through both Iranian and Omani territorial waters, giving both states a legitimate jurisdictional claim. Iran state television reported on a draft memorandum of understanding that would formalize joint Iranian-Omani management of the strait. The Trump administration called that report a complete fabrication. Whether the MOU exists in any form or not, the market impact of the closure is measurable and spreading. UK energy regulator Ofgem raised the country's residential energy price cap by 13% effective July 1, 2026, citing soaring wholesale oil and gas costs caused by the US-Israel war with Iran. A typical dual-fuel household in England, Wales, and Scotland will pay £1,862 annually from July 1, up from £1,641 in the prior quarter. Gas unit prices rise from 5.74 pence per kilowatt-hour to 7.33 pence. Electricity rises from 24.67 pence to 26.11 pence per kilowatt-hour. The cap covers approximately 33 million households. That single data point, a 13% residential energy price increase in the UK, is the downstream cost of a closed Hormuz. Multiply it across European industrial consumers, Asian importing nations, and emerging market sovereigns with dollar-denominated energy import bills, and the fiscal arithmetic becomes a systemic pressure, not a regional inconvenience. Key figure: the Strait of Hormuz carries more than 20% of the world's global oil traffic. A sustained closure does not create an energy shortage. It creates an energy repricing that compounds daily. Oman's neutrality is collateral damage. Oman has built its foreign policy identity on a single durable asset: neutrality. For decades, Muscat served as the back channel between Washington and Tehran, a role it played again as the two sides sought to resolve the conflict that began in February 2026. That function, the ability to carry messages no ambassador can deliver officially, has commercial value. It attracts sovereign capital, multilateral institutions, and multinational corporations that need a stable operating base in the Gulf. Trump's threat detonates that asset in one sentence. If Oman's neutrality can be met with a military threat from its closest Western ally, the country's mediation premium disappears. The investors who priced Omani sovereign risk at a discount to regional peers because of its stability calculus must now revisit that model. The U.S.-Oman relationship stretches more than 200 years, encompasses security partnerships, a free trade agreement, and a science and technology deal. None of those instruments contain a clause that protects Oman from its counterparty's public threats. The asymmetry is the risk. The Abraham Accords coercion track, Saudi Arabia and Qatar in the frame Trump used the same. Cabinet meeting to press Saudi Arabia and Qatar to normalize relations with Israel as a condition for any U.S.-Iran ceasefire agreement. His language was explicit, "I think they owe that to us, to be honest." He added, "I'm not sure we should make the deal if they don't sign, if you want to know the truth." This is the Abraham Accords 2.0 pressure track, but with a coercive overlay that was absent in Trump's first term. The original Abraham Accords were presented as incentive-based diplomacy. The 2026 version arrives alongside military threats directed at a Gulf ally. The sequencing matters for deal probability. Riyadh and Doha must now calculate whether the cost of non-normalization includes exposure to the same rhetorical escalation Muscat received on May 27. For private equity and institutional investors with Gulf Cooperation Council exposure, the second-order question is whether Saudi Arabia's Vision 2030 capital attraction strategy can survive the reputational friction of being publicly pressured by Washington. Saudi Aramco's global bond program, the PIF's international co-investment pipeline, and Qatar Investment Authority's European and U.S. asset positions all rest on a stable relationship with Western counterparties. Coercive diplomacy tests that foundation. Caption: key data points derived from source material. All figures as reported May 27, 2026. India sits at the pivot, energy arbitrage and alliance optionality, the Hormuz closure and the threat to Oman land at a moment when India is being actively courted by Washington as an energy customer and strategic counterweight to China. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio spent 4 days in India in late May 2026, working to stabilize ties strained by tariff disputes. Both sides signaled movement toward a broader trade deal. The tension is structural. Russia crude remains cheaper than U.S.-supplied energy. China has overtaken the United States as India's largest trading partner. Washington wants India to purchase more American energy as Hormuz stays closed and global supply routes reprice. But New Delhi's purchasing decisions follow price signals, not alliance loyalty. The implication for energy markets: if India, the world's third largest oil importer by volume, continues to source Russian crude rather than redirecting to U.S. or alternative Gulf supply, the Hormuz closure's demand destruction effect on Iran is blunted. Tehran retains a revenue stream. The pressure calculus Washington is attempting to construct becomes less effective with every barrel India buys from Moscow. Investment positioning: Gulf Cooperation Council, energy infrastructure, and political risk premiums for institutional capital. Three repositioning questions follow from May 27. First, Gulf Cooperation Council sovereign credit spreads should widen to reflect the new base case that U.S. alliance guarantees are conditional and revocable under rhetorical pressure. Oman's investment-grade ratings and its use as a stable domicile for regional holding structures require reassessment if the neutrality premium has been compromised. Second, energy infrastructure assets with Hormuz transit exposure now carry a closure risk premium that was not adequately priced before February 2026. LNG terminals, VLCC charter rates, and pipeline alternatives through Turkey, Egypt, and the Red Sea corridor are beneficiaries of sustained closure. Capital that was parked in tanker equities and alternative routing infrastructure has already outperformed since February. The May 27th escalation extends that trade. Third, the Abraham Accords normalization pressure on Saudi Arabia and Qatar introduces a new sovereign risk variable for Gulf Cooperation Council project finance. Deals that depend on Gulf sovereign co-investment alongside Western capital partners now carry a political binary: normalization happens and capital flows accelerate, or it stalls and the coercive dynamic produces friction that delays execution. The Plaquemines view the market is reading Trump's Oman threat as noise. It is not. It is the clearest signal yet that Washington has abandoned the distinction between adversary and ally in its energy coercion strategy. When you threaten to bomb a country that hosts U.S. military assets, holds a bilateral free trade agreement with Washington, and spent the past 3 months acting as your diplomatic back channel to Tehran, you have crossed a threshold that cannot be uncrossed with a press statement. Our thesis: the real asset class to watch is not oil futures. It is Gulf sovereign credit and the political risk insurance market for Gulf Cooperation Council project finance. The moment a U.S. president publicly threatens a Gulf Cooperation Council ally, the entire infrastructure of Western capital deployment into the region, which depends on the assumption of stable U.S. security guarantees, becomes repriced. private credit funds with Gulf Cooperation Council exposure, infrastructure managers with Omani concession assets, and sovereign bond investors holding Omani paper are all holding positions that were underwritten against a different political environment. The second order play is the India energy pivot. If Rubio's visit produces a credible U.S.-India trade framework that includes energy supply commitments, Washington gains a demand anchor for redirected non-Iranian Gulf supply. That would tighten the Hormuz closure's economic impact on Tehran. But if India continues the Russian crude arbitrage, the pressure campaign leaks. Watch the India-U.S. trade negotiation timeline as a leading indicator of how effectively Washington can enforce the Hormuz repricing. The Oman threat also signals that the Abraham Accords 2.0 push will intensify before the Iran nuclear negotiations conclude. Trump's explicit conditioning of a ceasefire deal on Saudi and Qatari normalization with Israel means the ceasefire timeline is now hostage to Gulf domestic politics. That is a long timeline. Energy markets should price accordingly. The bottom line: Trump's threat against Oman on May 27, 2026 is not a one-day story. It is a structural event for Gulf Cooperation Council political risk pricing, energy infrastructure positioning, and the credibility of U.S. alliance commitments in the Middle East. The Strait of Hormuz carries more than 20% of global oil traffic. The UK is already paying 13% more for energy because of the war that created the standoff. Every week the strait stays closed or disputed. The downstream costs compound across 33 million British households, across Indian import bills, across European industrial margins. The forward-looking claim: if Saudi Arabia does not move toward Israeli normalization before a ceasefire is reached, Trump has publicly stated he may walk away from the deal. A collapsed ceasefire negotiation with a still-closed Hormuz is the scenario that turns a regional energy shock into a global one. Institutional capital should be positioned for that tail, not discounting it.